You know, one of my favorite movies is Fiddler on the Roof, for obvious reasons. And it takes place, of course, in 19th century Russia, in the Jewish ghetto, in the tiny town of Anatevka. And one of my favorite scenes in this movie is when a group of Jewish men there are all gathered around the rabbi, and the rabbi is telling them about blessings that can be given to various people and things. And so suddenly, one of the Jewish men asks the rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, is there a blessing that we can give the Tsar?" And the rabbi says, "Why, of course." He says, "May God bless the Tsar and keep him far away from us." Well, I thought it's funny, but you know, today's Father's Day, and so what I would like to do is talk to us dads and us granddads about giving a blessing not to the Tsar, but about giving a blessing to our children all the days of their life. And I have four principles I want to share with you today that lie at the heart of doing this biblically, and I call them the four shuns. You say the four shuns, what are you talking about? Well, they are affection, they are affirmation, connection, and reconciliation. You understand, they all end in shun. Well, I thought it was clever. But anyway, the point is that these are not just good principles for dads. They're also great principles for moms to put into practice and for future dads and future moms. And if you're a single parent mom here today and there's no dad in your home, you try to do these things as unto the Lord for your children, and God will honor that just like he would if there were a dad in the home doing it. So there's a lot here for everybody today. So here we go. How do we give a blessing to our children the rest of their lives? Well, principle number one, we do it by giving them affection. By that we mean physical affection, meaningful touch. You know, one of the highest models of good fatherhood that in the Bible is the father of the prodigal son. You remember the story. This boy took his inheritance and he went off and he blew it all in profligate living. And so finally he heads back home to his father from the pig pen. And Luke chapter 15 says, verse 20, that while his son was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran to his son and threw his arms around his son and kissed him. As this sin-ravaged boy headed home, there were all kinds of messages that his dad wanted to communicate to him, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, value and worth and restoration and, of course, forgiveness. And being a wise father, this father understood that when it comes to imparting these kind of messages to our children, the greatest weapon in a father's arsenal is physical affection, meaningful touch. Now, moms are normally great at doing this, but we dads, well, we're often not as good. And that's tragic because every study has shown that physical affection on the part of a father is more important to the healthy development of that child than physical affection from anyone else in that child's life. Now, you know, I'm not a big hockey fan, but you don't have to be a big hockey fan to know the name Scotty Gomez. Scotty Gomez was the first Hispanic to ever play in the National Hockey League. He was Rookie of the Year of the league in 2000, the same year that he helped lead the New Jersey Devils to the Stanley Cup. He helped lead them to the Stanley Cup again in 2003, and his career is still going strong with the New York Rangers today. But my favorite part about Scotty Gomez is his relationship with his dad, Carlos. Carlos was an iron worker in Alaska as Scotty was growing up. His dad went to all of his hockey games as a kid. His dad bought him expensive equipment out of his meager salary. And when Scotty made the Devils at the age of 20, his dad went with him. His dad would go to all the home games, and then when the team was getting ready to travel, his dad would even go in the Devils' locker room and ask the older players to keep an eye on the kid while they were on the road. But here's the best part of the story. After every Devil's home game where his dad is there, Scotty and his dad continue a ritual that began when Scotty was just a little kid on wobbly skates. The minute the game is over, Scotty comes straight off of the ice and dissolves into his dad's arms, and they give each other a huge bear hug and a kiss. Carlos said in USA Today, and I quote, he said, "You'd be surprised how many dads say to me, 'I wish my kid would let me hug him like that, but I'm always going to do it with Scotty. I don't care how old he is.'" End of quote. Now, you know, many dads do fine with physical affection until the time that their children reach puberty. And then, of course, for boys, well, you know, it's not just cool to have dad hug you and kiss you as a boy who's in high school. Because of this, when my boys were in high school, I stopped hugging and kissing them in public, but I continued to do it in our home in private. And now I'm happy to say that they're grown men. We're back to doing it in public again. And I always take the lead with this. When I see my boys, I walk towards them with my arms open. I grab them, I hug them, I kiss them, and I don't really care whether they want me to do it or not. I don't give them the choice. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what a good dad does. Now listen, for girls, when they reach puberty, a lot of us dads begin to worry that maybe it's harmful to hug their daughters at this point in their life. I mean, you know, maybe we'll communicate some sexual message to our daughters that we shouldn't ought to be communicating. Listen to me. All the research shows that girls who do become promiscuous almost always come from homes where their dads did not hug them. Now look here. Child sexual abuse is a horrible and tragic thing, and I think every one of you know I am not advocating sexually abusing our children. What I am advocating is loving fathers expressing acceptance and value to their children by means of appropriate physical affection. And men, I cannot overestimate to you how important, what a blessing this will be to your children all the days of their life. Maybe you feel it would be a little awkward to start it now after you haven't been doing it for so long. Look, my advice to you is start anyway. And even if it's awkward at the beginning, before long, it'll become fine. Just get started. Number two, want to give your children a blessing all the days of their life? Then give them verbal affirmation. Spoken words that bless. You know, we all grew up reciting dumb little sayings that we learned. For example, the early bird what? Yeah, well, in Israel, well, on my trips, we say the early bird gets the falafel, but it's the same idea. That's right. Okay. Now, here's another one. A stitch in time what? Saves nine. A penny saved is a penny earned. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. Well, you know what? That's not true. I'm sorry, that's not true. Words can really hurt a lot. I'm 60-year-old. I'm a grandfather. You say, well, Lon, you don't look like it. Well, God bless every one of you. But I want to tell you, as a 60-year-old grandfather, I still remember to this day hurtful words that my dad said to me when I was just a little child. And by the same token, affirming words from our dads will never be forgotten by children either. Those words will provide strength and encouragement and blessing to our children all the days of their life. This is why Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. But you know, speaking words of affirmation to our children or to anyone else for that matter, well, it just doesn't happen by accident. It demands deliberate energy, deliberate effort. We've got to pay attention to doing it, and maybe that's why so often we don't do it. But nothing can match the power of a dad saying to his child, you know, I really respect you for this. I really respect you for that. I'm really glad God gave you to me. I'm proud of you. I'm proud to be your dad. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about just flattering our children here. The Bible warns us about flattering people. Flattering children means we give them compliments they don't deserve, that are false, that are disingenuous. And the Bible says, Proverbs 26:28, a flattering mouth works ruin. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about biblical affirmation. And what that means is that we identify genuine character traits in our child that are admirable, and then we let our child know with our words how much we appreciate them and respect them for those traits. You know, years ago when our children were young, Brenda and I started a little, a little tradition in our family. Whenever someone would have a birthday or someone would have a special occasion, we had this bright red plate. We called it the You Are Special plate. And we would put it in front of that child when we sat down for dinner. And then I would give a little speech. And it would go like this. I would say, you know, what we're going to do now before we eat is we're all going to go around the table and we're all going to tell whoever it was one thing that we appreciate about them. One thing that makes them special. And I know you might think it's a little corny, but I said the problem is that so often people feel this way about one another in a family, but they never say it till the funeral service. Well, we're not going to do that. And so we would sit there, I would go first, and then we'd go around the table and do that. You know, all my boys are grown now, they're all married. My oldest son has my two grandchildren, but even now when we go out for a birthday or we go out for a special occasion, to this day, we sit there and go around the table and tell that person one thing that makes them special. Look, I got to tell you, some of the most precious moments we have ever had as a family have come as we've gone around the table and affirmed one another sitting there and doing that. You say, well, you know what? I never had that kind of affirmation from my dad growing up. Well, sadly, I didn't either. Sadly, some of us are never going to get that kind of affirmation from our dad. But men, look here, just because we didn't hear it doesn't mean we can't speak it to our children. Number three, want to bless your children all the days of their life? Then give them emotional connection, emotional bonding. You know, in order to affirm our children effectively and really in order to be an effective dad in so many areas, we have to become students of our children. We have to connect with them and really get to know them. There's a wonderful passage in Genesis 49 where Jacob goes around and he blesses each one of his 12 sons individually. Look what the Bible says, Genesis 49:28. It says, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father Jacob said to them when he blessed them. Watch, giving to each one of them the blessing that was appropriate for him. In other words, this father, Jacob, had gotten to know each one of his sons individually and personally and uniquely. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. He knew their talents. He knew God, how God had wired each one of those boys. And then Jacob gave each of them a blessing that was uniquely suited for who they were. Well, listen, men, as dads, our children each need a unique blessing from us. One that's suited, one that's tailored just for them, but there's no way you and I can do that if we don't take the time to get connected to them and to become knowledgeable as to who these children are. You say, well, that's great, Lon. How do you suggest I do that? Well, we do it, folks, by asking penetrating questions and letting our children talk. Things like, what's your favorite subject at school? What's your least favorite subject at school? What's the best part of your school day? What's the worst part of your school day? What's your biggest fear at school? Hey, when you hit 25 years old, what do you think you might be doing? Who do you most like in the Bible and why? What do you think God wants you to be when you grow up? What's your favorite kind of music? What's your least favorite kind of music? Talking to our children about their dreams and their fears and their hopes and their sorrows. You say, Lon, stop. My children do not want to sit around and talk to me about their hopes and their fears and their sorrows. Look here. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. You know, as a child, I was dying to let my dad know who I was. I was dying to tell him how much I loved baseball and I wish he would find a way to let me play more. I was dying to tell him how scared I was to go to high school every day and how nervous I was to go off to college. The problem is my dad never asked. And even when I tried to tell him, he never listened. Your children are dying to tell you who they are. And friends, they will if you'll just give them a chance. Ask them the questions and then pay attention to the answers. And it goes without saying, but let's say it anyway, that to do this takes dedicated time. You can't be going 100 miles an hour at work and coming home and spending 15 minutes with your children and really get to know who those people are. Number four, and finally, want to communicate and give a blessing to your children every day of their life? Then give them reconciliation. Give them a way to heal past hurts that you've done to them. Now, I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it said this. It said, Dad is a four-letter word. And I got to thinking, what is behind a bumper sticker like that? And you know what's behind it. What's behind it is hurt and woundedness and pain that was caused by some dad, but that's still unresolved and unfixed and unhealed in the life of that child. You know, there's a fascinating incident in the Old Testament with the prophet Samuel. He had been the leader of Israel for decades, and all of a sudden God said, I want you to appoint King Saul in your place. You're stepping down. But just before he steps down, he invites all of Israel to come to meet with him one last time, and this is what he says. Look, 1 Samuel 12, verse 2. Samuel says, now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and I've been your leader from my youth to this day. Watch. He says, here I stand. Please testify against me in the presence of the Lord. Whose ox have I ever taken? Whom have I ever cheated? Whom have I ever oppressed? From whose hand have I ever accepted a bribe? Samuel says, if I have done any of these things, tell me, and I will make it right. Friends, as dads, this is a conversation, gentlemen, that every dad needs to have and to keep having with his children. How have I wronged you? Have I done it in some way? Have I hurt you in some way? Tell me what I've done, and to the best of my ability, I'll apologize and I'll try to make it right. Look, guys, no matter how hard we try, no matter how sincere we are, we're still going to do things that hurt our kids. We're still going to do things that wound them. And children need a way to dump this pain. Children need a way to biblically resolve this pain so that they can put it behind them and go on with life. You want to be a blessing to your children? You give them a way to do that. You know, I also love the movie Field of Dreams. I think everybody here kind of knows the story, but if you remember, Ray Kinsella had all kinds of daddy issues and daddy pain, but his dad died before he ever had the chance to resolve it. So one day, this voice comes to him in Iowa and says, build a ball field. And so he builds this baseball field in the middle of a cornfield. You know the story. And all of a sudden, his dad shows up. Not the old broken down man that Ray remembered, but the young man full of dreams and hopes that never came true. And the movie ends with Ray and his dad playing catch and talking and having a second chance at life together. Hey, look, if you don't know the plot of this movie, you ought to have to forfeit your American citizenship. That's kind of how I see that. All right. Now, anyway, when I went to see the movie the very first time, I went with my two oldest boys who were like 11 and 8. And I thought this was a baseball movie. I just thought I'm going to see a baseball movie with my kids. man, I had no idea what this movie was really about. You talk about getting emotionally bushwhacked. Oh my gosh. I'm sitting there as I'm watching on the screen and Ray and his dad are playing catch and they're talking and they're healing and they're forgiving. And the theater, people are just weeping in this theater. And I didn't bring a handkerchief. I didn't bring any Kleenex. I'm wiping my eyes with my sleeve and I'm wet all the way up to my elbow. I'm serious. And my kids are sitting there going, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm sobbing in this movie. Well, when I finally got home and pulled myself together, I thought, what was going on in that theater there? What just happened? And folks, what just happened is that there was a theater full of people there, all carrying the very same kind of daddy pain as Ray Kinsella, but who'd never gotten the opportunity to fix it, to resolve it. And you know, having counseled people as a pastor now for over 30 years, almost without exception, when I come across people who are carrying these kind of daddy issues, and I ask them, why haven't you gone back and fixed this? Almost without exception, the answer is the same. They say, it's because my dad is defensive, and he's closed, and he's completely unapproachable about these kinds of things. You want to be a dad that bestows blessing on your children? Then you be a dad who takes the lead. You be a dad who takes the initiative in it when it comes to reconciling hurt with them. How fabulous is it when a dad comes to his child? I don't care if that child is 6 or whether they're 46. But when that dad comes to the child like Samuel did to the people of Israel and says, I know I've done some things to hurt you and wrong you and let you down. I want you to tell me about the pain that I've caused you and I will seek your forgiveness and I will do everything in my power to make it right. You want to be a blessing to your children? This is how you do it. I read an article this week in Newsweek by Christopher Dickey, the Paris bureau chief of Newsweek, and he tells about meeting a lawyer in New York, and the lawyer told him that he had been estranged from his dad for 25 years. Then the lawyer said this. He said, and I quote, it seems strange to some people when you tell them you haven't talked to your father for 25 years. It's so dysfunctional. But that time, I measure it in decades now, is just gone. And then the lawyer told him about how his dad had a heart attack, and finally he broke down and flew to California to see his dad, to be at his bedside. I continue, the lawyer said, and I quote, we spent 4 days together talking. I left, then there was another heart attack, and he was gone. The lawyer said, I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had that time with him. End of quote. You know, this is a great story, has a happy ending. But you know, the only caveat I would say is, gentlemen, don't wait for your children to take the initiative in getting things right. We as fathers and grandfathers, we ought to be the people who take the initiative in making things right with our children and with our grandchildren. You say, but Lon, I hear what you're saying, but it's too soon. I mean, my children aren't ready for this. And to be honest with you, I don't think I'm ready for this right yet. It's too soon for me to do this. Gentlemen, it's never too soon because you never know when it's going to be too late. And I believe some of us men here, we have a phone call we need to make this week to a child. Some of us here have an appointment that we need to set up this coming week with a child. Some of us here need to go visit a child this week. And we need to have a conversation with that child where we say, how have I hurt you? We need to get this right. And I'm here to make it right. Hey, you know what, gentlemen? That's what real men do. And if you ask your child to tell you this, I'm just warning you, you better buckle your seatbelt because they're going to tell you what you did. Hey, you never claimed to be perfect. Your children don't expect you to be perfect. They just expect you to be honest. So go be honest and tell them you made a mistake. Not the end of the world. Ask them to forgive you. Like I said, this is what real men do. Well, let's summarize. What have we learned today? We've learned if you really want to give a blessing to your children, then number one, shower them with physical affection. Number two, give them verbal affirmation. Number three, work hard at emotionally connecting with them and learning who they really are. And number four, take the lead in effecting reconciliation with your children. He said, well, Lon, none of this was done for me. My father didn't do any one of these four things for me. Well, you know what? My father didn't do any one of these four things for me either. That's why I grew up to be a wounded person, to be a damaged person. But when I came to Christ at the age of 21, almost 39 years ago now, I knew I was wounded and damaged because of the way my dad and my relationship was. And when I first came to Christ, I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I do not want to pass that curse on to my children. I want to end that curse. I want to reverse the curse. I want it to stop with me. And instead of giving a curse to my children like my dad gave to me, I want to give a blessing to my children that they can give to their children and they can give to their children's children. I want people to look back and say the curse in the Solomon family stopped with Lon. And I said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't. But with the power of Jesus Christ in my life, I believe I can reverse the curse in the Solomon family. Gentlemen, maybe your father didn't do any of this to you. You know what? It doesn't matter. With the power of Jesus Christ in your life, you can reverse the curse. I haven't been a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination, but I can stand here and tell you honestly that by the power of Jesus Christ and to His glory, we reverse the curse in the Solomon family. You can do the same thing if you're willing to be determined and pay the price to do it. You can do it, gentlemen. And your children and your children's children will thank you for making that happen. Let me say finally that my wife Brenda has done a great job of helping this happen because she's been a wonderful cheerleader for me, an encourager, an affirmer of all my attempts to try to be a good dad, coming in and saying to me, even when I mess up, you know, Lon, you messed up, but you're still a good dad. You know, I mean, that was just one little mistake. I got to tell you, ladies, nothing will encourage your man more to try to be the dad that God wants him to be and the husband God wants him to be than your respect, your affirmation, your support, your encouragement. Ladies, stand by your man and help him become the man God wants him to be. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you know it's difficult to be a dad. It's hard in our culture because, in my opinion, we don't honor dads in our culture the way we ought. But it's also hard, Lord, just because we're human. And to be the kind of godly dad that you call us to be is something that we can't do in the energy of the flesh. We're all too selfish. We're all too self-centered. And in many cases, we're too damaged ourselves. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us rise above all of that, the power of Christ, to help us become the dads that you want us to be and the granddads. And so, Lord Jesus, help us work in our lives and help us, I pray, to have a passion for reversing the curse in our families, a passion for being the kind of dads that you call us to be. Lord Jesus, may our children's children look back on us and call our name blessed because of the way we dedicated ourselves to being fathers by the power of Christ. Change our lives because we were here today, Lord, and bless our children because of the changes we're going to make as a result of sitting under the Word of God today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say? Amen. Amen.